الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقال جل وعلا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد فقال جل وعلا يخلق ما يشاء وهو العليم القدير فقال جل وعلا إن الله على كل شيء قدير وقال جل وعلا فذلكم الله ربكم الحق وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام تفكروا في خلق الله وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام تفكروا في آلاء الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Listen very carefully to these examples, as today's talk will only consist of examples. Each and every example conveying the same message. Once an atheist came to the Khalif Mahdi, one of the Umayyad Khalifs. He said, I do not believe in Allah. I do not believe that God exists. This world and everything within this world came into being by itself. And everything within this world, everything within this universe is running by itself. Nobody created the heaven, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything that exists within the universe. Everything within the universe is taking its course naturally. There is no being, no power, no creator, no designer, and no maker behind everything that exists. And I challenge the Muslims, bring your best scholar. Bring the most knowledgeable person from amongst you. I will challenge him. And I will prove to him that no God exists. And that you Muslims are in the dark ages. You Muslims are wrong to believe that God exists. I will debate with him on this issue. At that time, the most knowledgeable person from amongst the Muslims was the great Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. And in Baghdad, which was the capital of the Muslim world at the time, on one side of the river Tigris were the royal palaces. On the other side of the river Tigris was the city. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah lived in the city. In order to get to the royal palaces, he would have to cross the river. The Khalif sent a messenger. In spite that the sun had set and it was evening, the Khalif Mahdi sent a messenger calling for Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Because this atheist was very persistent and arrogant. And if somebody didn't take up the challenge from the Muslims, it would mean that this atheist is right. It would mean that the Muslims have been defeated. The Muslims are wrong in believing in Allah, believing in a God. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah was sent for. The messenger came and informed Abu Hanifa rahmahullah of the situation and challenge. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah said to him, "Tell the Khalif, do not worry, I will soon be with him." He informed the Khalif. Now the Khalif is waiting. The Muslims are waiting. The ACs is waiting. The Waziers are waiting. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah does not show. Hours pass. Imam Saab doesn't show. 12 o'clock midnight. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah has not shown. The atheist with a smile on his face remarks, "Your Imam is not to come. Your Imam is afraid, he's hiding at home. He's afraid to challenge me because he knows I will overcome him and I will defeat him. Nobody has ever lived up to my challenge and nobody will ever live up to my challenge. You Muslims are wrong in believing in Allah. And I guarantee you that your Imam will not turn up today." Time passed and Imam Saab has not shown. The Khalif is worried, puzzled. What is he to do? He has no answer himself. It is shameful for the Muslims that their best scholar, the most knowledgeable person from amongst them, does not show. It is shameful for the Muslims. It means that the Muslims have been defeated. The Waziers are all there. The Muslims are all there. Nobody has an answer. The atheist is smiling and boasting. 1 o'clock Imam Saab arrived. 1 o'clock. The Khalif asked. A message was sent 8 o'clock in the evening. Yet you arrived 5 hours later, Imam, at 1 o'clock. Explain your late coming to the audience. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah said that today something extraordinary took place. An extraordinary event. I have never ever seen something like this before. I have never experienced something like this before in my entire life. To this very day, I have never seen something like this before. And I am puzzled. What did I see? What did I experience? When I received the Khalif's message, I made my way to the royal palace. When I got to the riverbank, it was evening, it was nightfall. I found there was nobody around. No boats, no sailors, no nothing. There was no way of crossing the river and getting to the royal palace. I was worried. How do I cross this river? If I do not show, it will be shameful for the Muslims that their best scholar has not shown up. It will mean that the Muslims have been defeated. The Muslims have no evidence that Allah exists. I was puzzled. It is while these thoughts crossed my mind, all of a sudden I noticed that in the middle of the river, planks of wood from the riverbed are rising to the surface. Planks, ready-made planks, all the same size, all plain, all smooth. It was like as if somebody's ordered these planks. I was amazed. Ya Allah, fish come out of water, pearls come out of water, but Ya Allah, where are these planks coming from? One by one, in the middle of the river, from the riverbed, they are rising to the surface. Ya Allah, where are these planks coming from? He says, amazed at what I saw, all of a sudden I saw something even more extraordinary. These planks that were coming out from the river to the surface began to join one by one. Before my very eyes, I am seeing these planks join together one by one as they come out from the river. And before I knew it, there was a boat standing in front of me. Ya Allah, puzzled, confused. Where's this boat come from? Who's making this boat? Who is joining these plants together? First of all, planks coming out from the riverbed. Now these planks have joined together and have become a boat. He says, whilst I was thinking, all of a sudden I noticed nails, big nails come out of the riverbed, and these nails are taking their place in the boat. Each nail is taking its place in the boat without being banged. I could not believe it. Amazed. He says, then I noticed that the planks that are joined together, water was seeping from the joints. When I saw water seeping in from the joints, from the very same river, a sealant came out. Without being poured, the sealant took its place within the joints, so that no water seeps in. A beautiful and complete boat was before my eyes. Then this very boat began to move. No sailor on board, there is nobody around. No navigator, no nothing. Yet this boat begins to move, and it makes its way towards me where I was standing on the river bank. It comes and stands next to me, and this boat is like as if it's telling me to board. I boarded on the boat. It says this boat began to move against the flow of water, against the current. Ya Allah, it is understandable if the boat was moving by itself with the flow of water, but where is this power coming from? Who is driving this boat against the current? He says this boat took me to my destination. Took me to the other side of the river. I disembarked. I looked round. The boat disappeared. The boat disappeared. It is because of this I was late, and I apologize for my late coming. Now the atheist who had been sitting down listening to all this, he was waiting for his chance to pounce on Imam Sa. What better chance than this? He remarked, O Abu Hanifa, we heard that you was an absolute genius, an all-round master, a master in jurisprudence, fiqh, a master in hadith, tafsir, ilm al-kalam, you name it. You are known for your intellect. Hey, you're talking nonsense. You're talking childish. You're talking rubbish. Planks come out of the water, nails come out of the water, sealant rises from the water, and then these things automatically by themselves, without a maker, without a designer, without a creator, become a boat. Nails took their place without being banged. The sealant took its place in the joints without somebody having put it there, without somebody having poured there. Then you say this boat began to move without a navigator, without a sailor, and this boat, without knowing your destination, took you to your destination. Wallahi, this is all ridiculous and rubbish. I do not believe it. Imam Sa'd asked, it is impossible? It is nonsense? I'm speaking nonsense? That a boat cannot come into being without a boat maker? He replied, yes. Yes, it is nonsense. How can a boat come into being without a boat maker? Imam Sa'd replied, if a boat cannot come into being without a boat maker, what is a boat? Then this universe, this world and everything within it, what is the boat in comparison to this universe? What is this boat in comparison to the moon, the stars, the sun, and everything that exists in the 20th century, and we still haven't discovered what exists in this vast universe of Allah? This boat cannot come into being without a boat maker, but this universe came into being without a maker, without a creator, without a designer. He understood and fled. This is the first example. Second example. Mufti Abdul Hakim in his book, Ha Khuda Hai, Yes, God Exists, has written, there are many different types of snake, many, hundreds and thousands. Out of the different types of snake we have, there's a special type of snake. It hibernates in the winter months. It goes underground. When it does this, the snake becomes blind. After the winter months, the snake comes out. It is blind. This blind snake makes its way to a certain tree called Razbanj. Sometimes it travels miles before it gets to this tree. It gets to this tree, it rubs its eyes with this tree, and he regains sight. The snake is able to see. I ask, the snake is blind. How does this snake know how to get to this tree? Who leads it to this tree? There are hundreds and thousands of different trees. Yet this snake, blind snake, gets to this tree. Who has taught this snake, rub your eyes with this tree and you will regain sight? Why doesn't this snake rub its eyes with some other tree? For those that use the internet, very recently, the scientists in Poland discovered that an ant, how big is an ant? It can barely be seen with the naked eye. The scientists discovered that an ant, a single ant, was carrying a dead bird in the air. It weighed 500 times more than the ant. 500 times more than the ant. I think you've not understood. It means that somebody like yourself and I, who weighs 200 pounds, carrying 50 tons in the air. This is what it is equivalent to. 50 tons in the air. Who can pick up 50 tons from you and I? Even the world's strongest man cannot push 50 tons, pull 50 tons, never mind lift 50 tons. Elephants cannot pick up such weight. Yet this ant, the scientists have discovered that this ant, which can barely be seen with the naked eye, is picking up such weight. When you walk down the street, you probably trample 50, 100 every day without even noticing. Yet this small creature has so much power that it will put you and I to shame. Where's the power come from? We do not have such power. An elephant doesn't have such power. Yet this small thing, which can barely be seen with the naked eye, can demiri after 3 days. As soon as it becomes a spider after 3 days, it begins to make the web. It's been to no madrasa, no schooling, no nothing. Yet this spider begins to make this web. Who's taught this spider to make the web? I say this because we're in the 20th century, the era of science. We've conquered the moon. At this moment in time, as I address you, scientists are using all types of sophisticated genetic engineering techniques to make the artificial web. Man's greatest mind and machines are put to this task. Yet they are not able to make something like the web. This little spider, 3 days after coming into existence, is able to make such a web. Look at the monarch butterfly. It migrates every year. From Mexico City, it migrates to the Great Lakes in America. And from there back again. Every year it migrates. And it is only the fourth generation that complete this migration. Only the fourth. The first generation migrates from Mexico City to Louisiana and Texas. They lay their eggs there and die. The second generation from there makes its way to the Great Lakes. They lay their eggs and die. The third generation makes its way from the Great Lakes down to the East Coast, to the Appalachians. They lay their eggs and die. And it is only the fourth generation that make it back to Mexico City. I ask, each generation has gone to a place where it has never been before. Each generation has gone to a place. The first generation go from Mexico City to Texas. The second from there
to the Great Lake, the third from there to the East Coast, and the fourth from the East Coast to Mexico City. Each generation has traveled thousands and hundreds of miles to a place where it has never been before. How does it get to this place? How does it know that it has to get to this place? Who guides this butterfly? Scientists to this very day say that this butterfly flies high when the wind is behind it, and it flies low when the wind is against it. To this very day, they do not know why it does this, and how it knows the wind is behind it, and how it knows the wind is against it. The moon goes round the earth round the sun. Everything within the universe is taking its course. Who has set this course? Who has set everything within the position they are? Everything is running perfect, without a single mistake. One mistake, there will be no earth. Everything is running exactly the way it was set. Who has set them? Who leads this blind snake to this tree? There are hundreds and thousands of trees, yet this blind snake gets to this tree. Who has taught it, rub your eyes with this tree? The ant is so small, it can barely be seen with the naked eye, yet it can pick up such weight that it will put you and I to shame. The spider begins to make the web. Modern day scientists, with all their latest equipment, cannot make this web. The monarch butterfly travels hundreds and thousands of miles to a destination where it has never been before. I ask, is it not like the Quran said 1400 years ago? رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. The Quran said 1400 years ago, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Allah is the one who has created everything and then guided it. Our Lord Allah is the one who gave to everything according to its capacity, its form, its shape, its powers and effects, and made them by His perfect wisdom as was necessary and required. Then Allah guided them and Allah taught them. Ponder over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how small it is, how insignificant it may seem, wallahi, it will lead you towards Allah. It will lead you towards the Creator. It will lead you towards the Designer. It will lead you towards the Maker. Time after time, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered us to ponder over the creation of Allah. تَفَكَّرُوا أَكْثِرُ التَّفَكُّرُ وَالْاِعْتِبَارُ. Spend time pondering and thinking. تَفَكُّرُ سَاءَةٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ قَيَامِ لَيْلَةٍ. Pondering for a short while is better than spending the whole night in nafl worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَفَكَّرُوا فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Ponder over the creation of Allah. تَفَكَّرُوا فِي آلَاءِ اللَّهِ. Ponder over the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time after time, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered us to ponder. Why? Because pondering over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lead us, will help us to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen our faith, it will strengthen our yaqeen, it will strengthen our belief. Let me give you an example. A child is not afraid of a snake. If you were to put a child in this room and a snake next to it, the child will not be afraid of a snake. Why? Because the child does not know that this snake is harmful. The child does not know that this snake is poisonous and it can kill him. The child will not be afraid. You will see children that they are not afraid to put their hands towards the fire, because children do not know that it can harm them. They do not know that it can burn them. And you will see this. Likewise, if we do not know who Allah is, then it will be virtually impossible, very difficult for us to turn to Allah and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we recognize Allah, when we recognize our Creator, our Maker and our Designer, We will turn to Allah with total submission. We will accept His laws and we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we recognize His mercy, when we recognize that He is the Ghafoor and Rahim, we will live in peace. We will live in hope. Hope for Jannah, that He will give us Jannah because He is merciful and kind, and we will live in confidence. When we recognize that He is the Qadir, when we recognize His power, we will love Him, we will respect Him, and we will act upon the things that He has told us to do, and we will turn to Him in the times of need. When we recognize that He is watching us, we will think twice before we commit sin. We will refrain from committing sin. When we recognize that He is the Maliki Yawmiddin, that He is the only judge on the Day of Judgment, then my brothers, we will offer our prayers, we will give our zakah, we will fast and we will perform our hajj and we will do everything that is asked of us. When we recognize that He is the Razzaq, He is the provider, then we will turn to Him in times of need. Every time we will ask Him. Let us begin by recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take the first step in recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. By just looking at His power. The power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must confess and make clear that nobody can actually describe or explain the power of Allah as it should be explained or described. Nobody can do justice to this topic. If every man and woman from the beginning of time till the Day of Judgment was together, from the human beings and jinn, even then they would not be able to do justice to this topic. Why? Because the subject under discussion is Allah. He is unlimited. His power is unlimited. This brain is limited. Something that is limited cannot do justice to something that is unlimited. All we can do is give you a few examples so that you recognize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never mind the power of Allah. Let us just begin with the power of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the name of Allah is so powerful that at one time cities were conquered with just with the name of Allah and without a fight. Those that believed in Allah and in the power of Allah and in the name of Allah, they would conquer cities with the name of Allah and without a fight. Ibn Jarir in his Tarif, in his history, has reported that the sheikhs of Ghassan and Balkan report that Hims was conquered by the Muslims with takbir, with Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. When the Muslims stood up against the people of Hims, the words are فَكَبَّرُوا تَكْبِيرَةً زُلْزِلَتْ مَأَهَرٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَتَصَدَّعَتِ الْحِيطَانِ Allahu Akbar, they said, such was the power of this Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest, that due to this takbir, an earthquake occurred in every city of the Byzantine and ramparts burst open. ثم كبروا الثانية فتهافت منها دور كثيرة وحيطان. When they said Allahu Akbar for the second time, the houses and walls came crashing down and Hims was easily conquered by the Muslims. Such is the power of the name of Allah. And before the end of time, inshallah, we are going to conquer Istanbul exactly the same way. We are going to conquer Istanbul in modern day Turkey with the takbir of Allah. We will say Allahu Akbar on one side will fall. The second time the Muslims will say Allahu Akbar, the second part of Istanbul will fall. When the Muslims say Allahu Akbar for the third time, Istanbul will fall, the Muslims will enter and they will take the Mali Ghanimat, they will take the booty. This is the power in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, the sword of Allah. When he went to stay in Hira with the Iranian chiefs, he was warned, O Khalid, beware of the Persians. You are going to stay with the Iranian chiefs, beware of them, they will poison you. The Persians are known for their poisoning. Beware. Khalid bin Walid said, bring poison to me. Deadly poison was brought. He put it in his palm. He recited, Bismillah, خير الأسماء رب الأرض ورب السماء الذي ليس يضر ما اسمه داء الرحمن الرحيم. And he ate it. In the name of Allah, the best of all names, Lord of the heavens and the earth. الذي ليس يضر مع اسمه داء. The one with whose name poison cannot have an effect. He is the most merciful and he is the most kind. He took the poison. The poison, wallahi, had no effect on him. Once there was a huge fire, spreading rapidly, eating everything that came in its way. A man came running to Abu Darda. Ya Abu Darda, ihtaraf baytu. Abu Darda, there's a huge fire. It is spreading rapidly. It is making its way towards your house. Abu Darda, do something. Your house will burn. Abu Darda, calm and collected. Mahtaraf. My house will not burn. A second came running. Abu Darda, ihtaraf baytu. Your house will burn. The fire is rushing towards your house. Abu Darda, calm and collected for the second time, replied, Mahtar, Abu Darda's house will not burn. The third comes with exactly the same message. Abu Darda, calm and collected, yet again replies, Mahtar, my house will not burn. The fourth comes and says, O Abu Darda, in ba'asat al-nar hatta intahat ila baytika tufiyat. O Abu Darda, we have experienced something extraordinary. There was a huge fire. It was eating everything that came in its way. It was making its way towards your house. O Abu Darda, when it got to your house, this huge fire extinguished by itself. Nobody put the fire out. This fire itself, when it reached your house, it went up. It went extinguished. Abu Darda, calm and collected, says, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَزَّ وَجَلَّمْ يَكُنْ لِيَفْعَلُ. Abu Darda knew that Allah will not let Abu Darda's house burn. Because the power in the name of Allah is such that Abu Darda has heard the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that whoever recites every morning, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant, alayka tawakkaltu wa anta rabbul arshil kareem, ma sha'a Allahu kan wa ma lam yasha' lam yakun, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim, anna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir wa anna Allah kad ahata bi kulli shayin ilma, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi wa min sharri kulli dabatin anta akhidhun bi nasiyatiha, inna rabbi ala sirati mustaqim. Whoever recites this every morning, such is the power in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing can affect him and he will not be burdened with any difficulty till the evening. Abu Darda knew that his house will not burn. This is the power of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you a final example. The story of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sayyidina Sulaiman, and the queen of Saba is known to all. It is a very famous story. The Quran relates it. When she received the letter of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu bi bismillahir rahmanir rahim alla ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin, that it is from Sulaiman. He begins in the name of Allah, the most merciful and the most compassionate. Alla ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin, do not rise up against me, come to me obedient. Subhanallah, is there any better letter? Alla ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin, how many words? Surrender, do not rise up against me, come to me as Muslim, come to me obedient. When she received this letter of Sulaiman, she wants to test Sulaiman by sending gifts and presents. If he accepts the gifts, then he is a king, a normal king, and we will fight him. But if he refuses the gifts, then he is a messenger of Allah. There is no use in fighting him, we will surrender. The gifts are sent. فَمَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا آتَاكُمْ. What Allah has given me, as Sulaiman alayhi salam replies, what Allah has given me is better than what you have sent. Take your presents. She comes to surrender. 12,000 chiefs, under every chief, 100,000 men. She is making her way to Sulaiman alayhi salam. She had such a throne that no king possessed such a throne. It was highly decorated. It was locked in a safe place and highly guarded. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when she was making her way to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sayyidina Sulaiman wanted to demonstrate the power that Allah had given him. He asked his courtiers, أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِأَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Who from amongst you can bring her throne before she reaches me? قَالَ إِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَكُومَ مِنْ مَقَامِكَ وَإِنِّي عَلَيْهِ لَقَوِيٌّ أَمِينٌ. Ifrit of the jinn said, that I will bring it to you before you stand from your place because of the power that Allah has given me. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. The one who had knowledge of the heavenly books said, never mind, before you stand up, I will bring it to you in the twinkling of an eye. Before your glance returns, the throne will be in front of you. The commentators of the Quran, the Mufassirin, have written that this person who knew the heavenly books knew Ismul Azam. He knew the name of Allah. He knew the effectiveness of Allah's names and words. And Ismul Azam is the name of Allah that is narrated in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. Whoever knows this name and whoever prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this name, whatever he asks, whatever he wishes, whatever he desires, his desires and wishes and du'as will be accepted with this name. And this person who had the knowledge of the heavenly books knew this name and he prayed with this name, and such was the effect and power of this name that her throne, which was highly decorated, guarded and safe kept in Yemen, hundreds of miles away in Sham, where Sulaiman alayhi salam is, he was able to transfer her throne in a twinkling of an eye from Yemen to Sham in a twinkling of an eye. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has the power to do whatever He wishes, whenever He wishes. Kun fayakun. If He wishes, He will say kun happen, and it will happen. Become and become. If there is no chance of survival, but Allah wishes for it to happen, it will happen. And if there is 100% chance of survival, and there is no chance of this thing finishing or dying, if Allah doesn't wish, there can be 100% chance of survival, it will not remain. Because Allah has the power to do whatever He wishes, whenever He wishes, and however He wishes. The story of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam is known to all. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam was sent to the people of Nineveh in Iraq. His people, like those before them, worshipped idols. He called them day and night, believe in Allah, worship Allah. But they refused to believe in Allah. And they refused that Allah exists. Day by day, their denial increased. He warned them that in 3 days, the punishment of Allah will come. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam left his town. As soon as he left, the azab came. The black clouds began to appear in the sky, indicating a horrible chastisement. When the people saw the black clouds, terrified, they ran to Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam's house to bring Iman. When they found that he had left, they went to the jungle with their women, children, even with their animals. And they separated the young from their mothers. And they sincerely repented and wept bitterly. Allah is the merciful. He forgave them. He forgave them. And the hovering chastisement moved away. The clouds moved away. Now Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam was outside town waiting for the punishment of Allah. He did not know that Allah had forgiven them, that they had repented and their repentance had been accepted. He was waiting outside town for the punishment. But when he saw that the hovering chastisement had moved away, fearing that his people will think that he'd lied to them and thus kill him, as that was the law of the land at the time, he embarked on a boat with a party, with a group of people. Unfortunately, this boat began to sink. And the people on the boat decided that we will onboard a man so that the Lord may be lightened. Sayyidina Yunus volunteered, throw me inside the water. They refused. They cast lots every time it came out in the name of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. Sayyidina Yunus jumped inside the river. While he was about to jump, Allah ordered a fish that you will save him. Your stomach will be the refuge for Sayyidina Yunus. You will not eat him. You will not injure him, as it's not your fodder. As soon as he jumped inside the water, the fish came and it swallowed Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. Once inside, he thought that he had died. It was only when he started moving his hands and feet, he realized that he was alive. And he prayed to Allah, Ya Rabbi, اتخذت لك مسجدا في موضع لم يبلغه أحد من الناس. Oh Allah, I have prayed for you and I have made a masjid for you in a place where none before me has ever done. The Mufassirin say, the commentators of the Quran, some say that he remained inside the stomach of a fish for 40 days. Some say it was a whale. But because the Quran has mentioned hur, I will translate fish. Some commentators of the Quran say that he remained inside the stomach of a fish for 40 days. I asked, how did he survive? How did he survive in the stomach of a fish, in total darkness, in the depths of the ocean? How did he survive? There was no chance of survival. No food, no water, no nothing. I asked, if he received food and water, then where did it come from? He survived against all odds. Why? Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadeer. No chance of survival. If Allah wishes, then you will survive. 100 chances of survival, no chance of death. If Allah wishes you to die, then you will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do whatever He wishes, whenever He wishes, however He wishes. While He was inside the stomach of the fish, in the depths of the ocean, that He heard the fish, and the stones glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he prayed to Allah, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the fish, take Yunus and throw him onto the shore. The fish came and threw him onto the shore. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has the power to do whatever He wishes. And what we learn from here is that we should turn to Allah for whatever we require. No matter how small it may be, there is only one being, one power, one maker, one designer that will be able to fulfill your need. And that being is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the tawfiq to act upon what I've said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.